Turn to Genesis chapter 15, again the chapter which was before us last week. Genesis chapter 16, last week we read the first five verses, this evening we shall read the remainder of the chapter. And Abram believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace, and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, and the Kenizzites, and the Cadmonites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. May God bless to us that very interesting portion of Holy Scripture. Last week we considered the first five verses of this chapter. Then it was that I pointed out that this vision and word of the Lord was of prophetic significance as well as being an authentic happening. In the latter part of verse 1, we saw the Lord allaying Abram's fears. His promise ever to shield him, and of a sure reward. In these rich promises, we learnt from the scriptures that all the faithful share. It's not peculiar to Abram. He is the father of all that believe, and the promises which were made to him are vouchsafed to us. We then moved further into this experience which the patriarch had alone with God. We saw in it a parallel to the experience of John in the Isle of Patmos as recorded in the book of the Revelation chapter 1. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I pointed out that here in Genesis chapter 15 we have the first prophetic vision in the scriptures, and that pertained to the Old Testament church. And in the book of the Revelation we have the last prophetic vision, and that pertains to the experiences of the New Testament church. And as Jehovah led Abram out that night, alone with himself, all that was within view was the stars. Look, says the Almighty God, look, your seed. It's all Abram could see. And he who had been previously promised seed as the dust of the earth is now promised seed as the stars of the heaven. And in this we learn two aspects: the earthly Israel, which should issue from the loins of Abram, and also the spiritual Israel, the true, of which the earthly was but a type. And from this point we proceed this evening. As the patriarch gazed up into the heavens that night, he saw those numberless orbs wherever he looked. And he heard the voice of God saying, Abram, so shall thy seed be. I feel his mind inevitably must have reverted to his initial call, God's first appearance to him back in Genesis chapter 12. And there in verse 3 of that chapter, you will remember God said, Abram, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. This we saw at the time could not refer to an earthly Israel, for it included all families, not the descendants of Shem only. Ham and Japheth were involved in this also. There is no doubt whatsoever that it was revealed to Abram that from him also should issue that seed of all seeds. That precious corn of wheat. That precious corn of wheat from the heavenly garner, which must needs fall into the ground and die. Yes, Galatians 3 verse 16 must surely come in again right here. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Shining in the heavens that night was one star above all others. It was the bright and morning star, and indissolubly bound up with the spiritual seed of Abram was Christ. I say indissolubly bound up with that spiritual seed, stars of the heavens, was Christ. It was because of this seed, which too should issue from Abraham according to the flesh, it was because of this seed that through Abram all the families of the earth should be blessed. What happened? What happened following the death of the heavenly seed? That corn of wheat which came from the granaries of heaven down to this earth fell into the ground and died. What happened following the death of that seed? It sprang up on the third day, bearing much fruit, leading captivity captive, releasing from the bondage of sin and of Satan all the true Israel of God, everyone. Everyone. Securing their eternal pardon, having obtained eternal redemption for all God's elect. All who previously were dead in trespasses and in sins were raised. The Holy Spirit of God himself came down to empower these glad tidings wherever they were preached, to make the wondrous truth a living, a lasting, and an eternal reality to all those who would believe. And so from Jerusalem to Judea, to Samaria, yea, to the uttermost parts of the earth, sounds the message that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yes, the patriarch Abraham saw all this in that prophetic vision. Well, how can you say that, you say? How can you say that, you may well ask? The Lord himself said so. The Lord himself. In John's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 56, he says, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. He rejoiced to see that day when the one who would be his seed, the seed of all seeds, who stood out in the heavens that night, the bright and morning star, he saw it. Not unto seeds as of many, but as unto one, Christ. He was the focal point, the focal star of that vision. That seed who should go down into death and by virtue of death, release from death an innumerable company. The seeds which are as many. It was not the multitude of stars which was all important that night. No, no. Not the seeds as of many, but to one, which was Christ. Now with this fresh in our minds, we come to verse 6, the first verse of our reading this evening. Verse 6 of Genesis chapter 15. And he believed in the Lord. Abram rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. God had appeared to this man. God had spoken to this man. God had revealed his truth to this man. And Abram believed. That's faith. That's faith. True faith, saving faith. When God reveals his truth to a man, that comes first. It's all of God. God reveals his truth. God appears first. God speaks. God reveals. And man believes. That's faith. Now there are those who will argue that faith in the Old Testament is different to justifying faith of the New Testament. The same old story and argument, this carving up of Holy Scripture. One's Old Testament, the other's New. One pertains to the church, the other the kingdom, and all this rubbish. Yes, they argue that the faith of the Old Testament is different to justifying faith of the New. I say again, this is erroneous teaching. This is not the dust of the earth which is in view here. It is not the dust of the earth. It is the stars of the heaven. It is not the earthly seed, but the spiritual seed. It is the faith of the true which is brought before us. The faith of the spiritual Israel. The spiritual Israel, their faith is a saving faith. It is a faith which is of God through grace, be it Old Testament or be it New Testament. How reads verse 6? He believed in the Lord. He rejoiced to look forward to that day and all that would be accomplished through that seed of all seeds which should issue from his loins. It's the day he was looking at. All that would be accomplished by him. He rejoiced to see it. Yes, the verse goes on to say, and he saw it. He saw it. It was no mystery. It was no problem whatsoever to Abram. He saw it clearly in his mind. He saw the whole thing. Of course he did. Of course he did. This is the very essence of effectual calling. It's the natural man that receiveth not the things of God. They are mysterious, their foolishness to him. The elect, when wrought upon by the Spirit of God, will always see it. It's effectual calling. Of course Abram saw it. All God's elect eventually see these things. And they will believe, because the Holy Spirit of God is never frustrated in the outworking of the eternal counsel. Never. Who dare suggest or think such a thing? Abraham saw it. He believed in the Lord. And, says the New Testament, it was counted to him for righteousness. Here in our verse in the Old Testament as well. He believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. That's justification. Makes no difference whether it's Old Testament. That is justification. Abram saw the day of Christ when God appeared to him and spoke to him and he believed. He was justified, counted righteous by virtue of what he had done in making a decision to come out of Ur of the Chaldees. No. Counted righteous by virtue of what that seed of all seeds would accomplish for him in due course. Abram saw it. He believed, and he was justified. Counted righteous by virtue of another. The imputed righteousness of Christ, which was before us at the table this morning as we gathered around the emblems. Counted righteous by virtue of another. The righteousness of Christ was imputed to Abram, just as it is imputed to us in our day. the holy perfections of that seed which should issue from the loins of the patriarch imparted to him. And Abram could see it. He believed it. He rejoiced. But someone may say, did not Abram believe God before? Did he not have faith when he left Ur of the Chaldees? Yes, he did. Of course he did. But you see, God is unfolding truth here. And of necessity, it must be gradual. The eternal counsel can never be unfolded upon one page of Holy Scripture. Indeed, we have a Bible, and our Bible contains 66 books. And in these varying books, there are differing slants. You see, the truth of God is so multi-sided. It's like a giant kaleidoscope. The patterns are numerous, but they're all perfect. The revelation given to us is so vast that the aspects are legion. And we take them as they're revealed to us in the Word of God in a study of this nature. In those 66 books which we hold in our hands this evening, we have more than sufficient, yea, far, far more than we shall ever fathom. But if all were within our grasp, we should still discover, as one said this morning, that in the coming day, the half have not been told us. But to come back to this matter of justifying faith, and as to whether or not Abraham had faith before, yes, he did. But that which is before us now is what one might call justifying faith. I'm not splitting the subject of faith. But here, before us now, is the aspect of justification through faith. And I believe that there is a very real reason why justification is linked with Abram's faith at this point. You say, why? Because revelation concerning Christ is in focus here. Christ was not in focus in this way when Abram was called out of Ur of the Chaldees. But here, at this point, Abraham's faith, justification is introduced because Christ is in view. What saith the Scripture in Acts 13 and verse 38? Through this man that is Christ, through this man, the one who stood out as the morning star that night, not the seeds as of many, but the seed as of one, which was Christ, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Surely this was the appropriate time for the Holy Spirit to bring in this truth in divine revelation and unfolding. Now, as more of these deep and hidden mysteries are being unfolded to the patriarch, he asks for a sign or for a confirmation of all this. Verse 8, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, again, I do not believe that this must be viewed as a lack of faith, which some commentators suggest. I do not accept that for one moment. Have we not just read, Abraham believed the Lord? I cannot see for one moment that this is a lack of faith. What we are to learn from verse 8, I am quite sure in my own mind, is that Abraham just wanted further enlightenment. The more God was doing in his experience, to some degree, the greater his bewilderment. It was so vast, he couldn't understand it. He wanted confirmation. He wanted a fuller explanation of these amazing things. And this Jehovah graciously gives to him by putting Christ before him in type. Christ is revealed more fully and his work. Now look at verse 9. And God said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. Now, although the Levitical and ceremonial law had not been given, yet here are seen the varying animals and birds of the Levitical sacrifices, each foreshadowing a distinctive aspect of Christ's perfections and work, which we cannot elaborate upon now. But what I do want to point out is the importance of those two words at the commencement of verse 9, take me an heifer, a she-goat, a ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. Take me. It is the Lord Jehovah speaking. And the offering primarily was for him, not for Abram's benefit. For me, it was for God. Did we not learn this well when we studied the atonement? The ransom price was paid to God at the bar of divine justice to satisfy and to meet in full the demands of God's holy and perfect law. Hence we read of Christ that he offered himself without spot to God. To God. Abram, you want a fuller explanation? I'll set before you the work of that seed which shall issue from your loins. I'll give you an illustration. He set forth this type, and it commanded, take me. It's for me. And so it was perfectly fulfilled. Christ offered himself without spot to God. When those righteous requirements of a holy God had been fully met, then God could come out in mercy to sinners, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, the Apostle Paul speaking, to declare at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. You want more details, Abraham, of the truth of justification? Here it is. My righteous claims have all to be met, and this can only be done by one, my son, your seed. But the offering price is paid to me. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror great darkness fell upon him. Now here I must remind you again of the dual aspect of all this. Both the earthly and the spiritual Israel are tied up in this great figure, Abram. And we must ever be careful not to confuse these things. Keep the context in view. God is revealing truth to Abraham concerning both the seed which is as the dust of the earth and the seed which is as the stars of the heaven. And all this is prophetic unfolding. A night and a day had already passed. This was no temporary fading passing vision, as we pointed out last week. It occupied a minimum of 24 hours. I say a night and a day had already passed, and darkness falls again. And a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a horror of great darkness. And in this deep sleep, this dense darkness, verse 13, God said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. The inheritance obtained through suffering. Now these two verses, without doubt, refer to the natural Israel. That nation who should be afflicted in Egypt. 400 years. But ultimately brought out with a mighty hand. Redeemed by the blood of the Paschal Lamb. Delivered by the power of Almighty God. That nation that oppressed shall be judged, and the Egyptians lay dead on the seashore. There's no doubt this is what these verses are referring to. No one would argue. It's obvious. Verses 18 to 21 further confirm that the material Israel and the land is in view. Yet, all this, their bondage in Egypt, their being sheltered by the blood of the Paschal Lamb, their delivery from Egypt by might and by power, and the ultimate destruction of their foes, is but a figure of the true. It's authentic history, but it's pinpointing something far deeper and something far greater. So we keep the both in view. Yes, this pertains to the earthly, but it's a figure of the true. In conclusion, I want to return to verse 12 and to the spiritual. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now, I have just said that the natural inheritance was obtained through suffering, bondage and suffering. In Egypt, they came out with great substance, but that natural inheritance was obtained through suffering. And here, Abram, from whom would come the earthly Israel? Yes, the earthly Israel would come through him. Now he is passing through a horror of great darkness. So now to the spiritual again. And remember what is being prefigured. Remember what is being set forth, what is being typified. Imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness. That was the purpose of this vision, primarily, that Abraham's faith might be focused upon not to the many, but to the one. God is giving him this vision because he wanted further explanation, and the vision continues. And imputed righteousness is the essence of the whole thing. The grounds of justification. It's the spiritual before us now. Beloved, in this we see typified the great head, the mediator, by which and through whom would come that innumerable company, the spiritual Israel, as the stars of the heaven, all by virtue of that one. A horror of great darkness is involved in the outworking of this plan. The horror of the great darkness of Calvary. And Abram's given a vision of this. A horror of the great darkness that fell upon the Savior. Verses 9, 10, and 12 of Genesis 15 are integral. You must not separate them. Those sacrifices and the horror of darkness, verses 9, 10, and 12, they form one part of this prophetic vision. And it has in view the work of Christ, atonement. I must just mention in passing verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. I must confess this verse has very real and a very hallowed memory for me. It was about 2 or maybe 3 years ago that Dr. Ian Paisley preached upon this very verse. And that sermon was a tremendous help and blessing to my soul. The fowls, here is the sacrifice. It's typifying to Abraham a very, very solemn and sacred truth. And Abram, in his vision, he sees the unclean bird swooping down to seize upon varying pieces of that sacrifice. And he drove them away. You can imagine our brother Paisley speaking upon such a subject as this. Unclean birds of Christendom bent upon snatching away parts of the offering of Christ, the work of atonement. They're doing it on every hand. The modernist, the liberal, pulling out bits and pieces and certain aspects of the work of Christ. They're continually swooping in upon these sacred truths, and seeking to erode and to undermine their deep significance. Beloved, it's our job to drive them away. We dare not let any man, whoever he might be, swoop in upon these sacred things and discredit their meaning. Now to the final in verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Robert Candlish, Dr. John Gill, suggest here the visible emblems of the great God. That which denoted the presence of deity. And there moving amongst those pieces was this burning lamp and the smoking furnace. Something which corresponds to what afterwards became known as the Shekinah glory. This passing through those pieces laid out in sacrificial order signified acceptance by God. Acceptance by God. And so, by the resurrection of Christ and his ascension and enthronement at the right hand of God, we are assured and we are confirmed that his work is not only complete, but it's efficacious. It's met all demands. Christ was both delivered for our offenses and raised for our justification. This is what is set out in Genesis 15. Therefore, writes the Apostle Paul, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that seed of all seed. So may the contents of Genesis chapter 15 be blessed to us abundantly for the glory of God. Amen. Hymn number 539. I must say I never knew of the existence of this hymn until we obtained this hymn book. It's an old hymn by Toplady. How such words as those which we have sung together this evening enrich our understanding and our worship. And I'm thankful to God that we have this extension of praise to be used in our midst. Number 539, Fountain of never-ceasing grace, thy saints' exhaustless theme, great object of immortal praise, essentially supreme. We bless thee for the glorious fruits thine incarnation gives, thy righteousness which grace imputes and faith alone receives. 539.
Righteousness.